Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Bruce.
And we thank you for joining us here. This is episode two, season five.
Season 5, episode
Yeah,
2.
it's
What are we
still
going to talk
crazy.
about, man?
We got five seasons already, or four
Yeah.
seasons under our belt, five that we're working on. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. How many episodes?
I think we're in the 70s.
Yeah.
I think we're
Yeah,
in
I
the
think you're
70s.
right.
So at some point, I think we mentioned this last time. I think we're going to hit 100. I think we're in the upper 70s. I think we'll
Yeah.
hit 100 during this season. So we got to do something real good for 100. So,
That'd be crazy, man.
yeah,
100
again,
episodes.
for everybody listening, we appreciate you listening and now actually watching. For those of you that
Absolutely.
are checking us out on YouTube, we appreciate everything that you do and how you support us. Also, I want to say this: if you have some ideas of some things you'd like to hear us talk about, we don't mind that. You can send it to us at info at h20live.org, info at h20live.org. And especially for episode 100, that'd be kind of cool to hear from everybody to see what we could talk about. But today we're going to have a good conversation. I think the topic today is probably something. I shouldn't say probably. It definitely is something everybody's dealt with.
It's something I don't know anybody that hasn't dealt with this particular topic that we're going to discuss today. Why don't you start us off?
We're going to talk about dealing with rejection.
Yeah.
Dealing with rejection. So there's all kind of aspects that we could talk about with rejection. But first, I want to say this. Dealing with rejection does not put you in bad company. If you have been rejected,
Right. That's right.
it actually puts you in really good company if you've
Really,
been
really
rejected.
good company.
Yes, but you have to experience the rejection for the right reason, and it puts
Yes.
you in great company.
Yeah.
So one of the passages I have is one that I'm sure pretty much everybody would recognize, and that's in John chapter 1, verse 11. It's the only one. I only want to read verse 11. It says, "He came into his own, and his own did not receive him." Jesus was talking about Jesus coming to his own people, the Jewish people, and they did not receive him. They rejected him.
Yeah.
He was the cornerstone that was rejected. And the funny thing was, the whole time he was here for everybody. He was here to love everybody. He was here to
Yeah.
save everybody. And he is the savior of the world right now.
Right.
And there's still people that reject him. But this is where I was coming from, Bruce, that being rejected doesn't necessarily put you in bad company.
That's right. It doesn't.
So I think being in that light with Jesus, he is our example in all things. In all things godly, he's our example. And looking at how he handled rejection is probably a really good place to start to
Yeah.
pattern your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I got a real simple one, John 15:18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you.
Yeah.
That's kind of
It
straight and to the point, isn't it? You know?
is. It
Yeah.
is. This is something. So we can park here for a second, right?
Okay.
Because in this modern day Christendom, I'll say it that way. I tend not to use the term, but in this modern day Christendom, we have this thing about being comfortable. We have
Yeah,
this
man.
thing about not experiencing pain. We have this thing about not experiencing rejection. We have this
Yeah.
thing about not experiencing disappointment.
Right.
There's a picture a lot of times that's painted that once you start to follow Jesus, everything is going to be great. It won't rain on you anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
Right,
your
right,
alarm,
right,
you won't
right.
wake up 5 minutes before your alarm clock goes off ever again. You know, things like no, nothing bad will ever happen. And it's just not true.
It's not true.
His words particularly said, in this life you will have tribulation, you will
That's
have
exactly
trouble.
right.
It's
Yeah.
unavoidable. You will
Yeah.
have trouble. The key is that he'll be with you in the trouble.
That's right.
So, and I think just what you're talking about there, Bruce, that the world hates you, the comfort that we feel because we're accepted by people who are not in the beloved.
Yeah.
We seek that. Now,
Right.
here's where the other problem is. The Bible tells you to be friends with the world is hatred towards God. And that's problematic. And I don't know how many people actually just look at that and think about that. You know, if I'm seeking the friendship, as a matter of fact, I think if I'm not mistaken, that passage doesn't even say to be friends. It says if you seek friendship. So you didn't even get the friendship, but you're looking to be friends
Right,
with
right,
the
right,
world.
right, right.
That's hatred to God.
Yeah.
And that's something that I have to internalize because I have to make sure that I understand I have to interact with people in the world,
Yes.
but I'm not seeking the approval. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, we've talked about identity on our podcast before, and
Yes.
I think that's what I hear you saying. You know, we have to be careful to make sure that our identity is in nothing and no one other than Jesus.
Correct.
Because then what happens is, you know, there's a longing. You know, you begin to long, you know, because you may not know who you are yet. You know what I'm saying? Once you know who you are to him and who he is to you, you've heard me say that many times. We have to know who we are to him and who he is to us. And once we establish that, you know, it's sort of like the scripture that says, "Owe no man anything but to love him."
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we got to interact with people, but there's nothing that I can do with you. Here's the truth of it, Troy. There's nothing that you and I can do as brethren in Christ, right? That can supersede or override either one of us knowing who we are to him and who he is to us. You know what
Right.
I'm saying? So
Oh,
what
yeah.
I'm saying is it's so real and it's such a solid truth that has to be taken into the heart, man, and really become a part of us, that I have no identity outside of him.
Yeah.
And the reason I said it like that, Troy, is because, you know, you can be a worker in the church, and if you're not careful, you'll find your identity in being a church worker, you know,
True.
and that's not good enough.
It's
Your
not.
identity can only be in Christ, right?
Yeah.
You can be one of the biggest givers in your church, and if you're not careful, you'll have an expectation. You know what I'm saying? There's the longing that you have to watch out for. We're supposed to long for him and him only. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after thee, O Lord, right? And so we have to be careful in and out of church dealing with, you know, unsaved people, the world, as we would call them, and dealing with saved people. It's the same thing. We have to make sure that our identity is completely locked into him. And if it's not, what'll happen is we will present something and not get the response that we think we should get.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then what's the old adage? Your bubble has been bursted. You know what I'm saying? Your little
Yeah.
bubble and your, as they say today, you're in your feelings, right? You
Yeah.
know, that happened to me many years ago, man. You know, I would go to my pastor and, I felt like I heard the Lord say something. You know, I got this wonderful revelation that I was so excited about, man. And, you know, when I go to my pastor, it wasn't new to him. He'd
Yeah,
already
yeah.
had that revelation, right? And
Yeah.
so he didn't give me the, "Oh, man, oh, that's great. Wow." You know, it was like, yeah, whatever, you know. And
Yeah,
I'd
you feel all
walk away,
deflated.
oh, deflated, man, just dejected, you know. And so, and after doing that a couple of times, the Lord says to me so lovingly one day, Troy, he says, "That was for you. That wasn't for him."
Yeah.
He said, "I was
Yeah.
showing that to you. You have to rejoice in that revelation between you and me. That's something for us to rejoice about. I showed that to you in as part of our relationship. Here, look, I want to show you something from my word." And then I was okay after that.
I
stopped
yeah.
seeking the approval. You know, it wasn't that I didn't respect my pastor. I just understood that even the relationship with my pastor cannot give me identity. Only Jesus can give me identity. And therefore, I stopped dealing with that particular level of rejection once I understood that.
Yeah, well, it's a good point because the unrealistic expectations or the expectations that come from
You say it all the time.
places that it shouldn't come from, you know,
Is also
that
known as
oh, that's the church
church
hurt.
hurt,
Oh yeah. That's the church
which we've
hurt.
talked about before.
We have talked about that before. If you haven't heard that, I think that's what, season four,
I think
season
that's
three.
season four, three or
Yeah,
four.
so one or the other. You can go back and listen to that. Church hurt was a, it was a, that was a good
It was
episode.
very good.
But I think it is the unrealistic expectations that get you. And in that case, here's the thing. You set yourself up for the rejection, right? I think
Yeah.
that's what you were pointing out. You set yourself up for it. And so you're actually the one that's rejected and the one that's doing the rejection. Because you set
Very
your,
interesting.
yeah, it is crazy, right?
Yeah.
Because you set your expectations somewhere that it didn't belong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's really funny.
Yeah.
You know, not funny, but it's just funny how that
Yeah,
happens, that
it's a peculiar thing.
it is. I can blame everybody else, but if I sit back and peel back the onion, I'm the only one to blame because I put an expectation somewhere it didn't belong. And
Right.
then when that person or group of people didn't live up to that expectation, I
Yeah.
call it rejection when really it's
Right.
not, it's just misplaced expectation.
You just misplace expectation. No, that's
Yeah.
really good.
Yeah.
That's
This
really good.
rejection thing, man, it covers a whole lot. So I just had a conversation with my daughter
Okay.
on the way to the studio, you know, to record.
Yeah.
One thing I was talking to her about was in relationships, everybody in relationships come in with baggage.
Yep.
We
Yep.
all come in with some kind, and I'm not talking about like your, I don't want to say just your romantic relationships, any relationship, even
Yeah. Oh,
friendships, you
sure.
come in with some kind of baggage.
Sure.
Everybody's baggage is not the same,
Right.
you know, and some people have more bags than others, right? But
Yeah.
we all come in with something. And I
Yep.
think it's interesting that one of the bags that's always common is that rejection bag.
Yes.
It's always common.
Yes.
And it inhibits us from enjoying the relationships that we do have to the extent that we should enjoy them because we got a guard up.
Yep.
You know, because okay,
Great point.
I'm waiting on this to happen now.
Yes,
My
exactly.
expectation is rejection,
Yep.
and I'm just waiting on it. At some point, this is going to happen,
Yep.
and this person is going to do something, say something that's going to cause me to feel invalid.
Yes.
I think that's a good way to say it,
That's a
invalid.
very good way to say it.
And it's going to prick my heart in that area that only rejection can prick it. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. You see that a lot in marriages, man.
Sure.
You know, you see that a lot where, okay, I'll go a step further. You see that a lot in second marriages or
Oh boy.
third marriages
Oh boy.
where there may seem to be a pattern, right? And now you've met someone else and you're going to try again. But as you said earlier, you have your guard up, and the poor little husband or wife, whichever side it is, right? Because it works both ways. The poor little innocent, new husband, new wife, you know, is wondering, why are you responding to me this way? You know, and a lot of it has to do with the experiences that they had in that first marriage. You know, and just putting their guard up, as you said earlier, you know, especially in the area of rejection, man. You know, so I'm gonna do this so that I won't be rejected again. I'm going to put guards up where guards aren't even necessary because this new spouse just wants to love me and just wants to hold me and just, you know what I'm saying, and just wants to, you know, but what there's something going on there. You want something. You're not just being lovey-dovey because you really want, you know, no, you got something going on because that's what the last person dipped.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that bad? It's terrible, you
It's
know, because it
horrible, man.
because
It's
it robs
horrible.
us of something that God put here for us
Yes.
to be able to enjoy each other in relationship. It
Yes.
robs us of it, you know.
Yes. It really does.
I would say this, and and switch gears here for a second, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I think one of the places where rejection can be experienced, and I do want to talk about this for a little bit for our listeners, is in the area of ministry.
Okay.
Right. Now, I myself, you know how we teach, right? And I set myself up a lot of times for that rejection because there's a truth that's not common to people
Yeah.
because tradition gets in the way, if that
Right.
makes sense. So I'll give you a good example. One of the statements that I make where I get a whole lot of backlash from, even though it is absolutely true, it kicks up against the tradition, is that most of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the majority of it is still Old Testament.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And I get a lot of pushback because when I bought my Bible, it says New Testament and it starts with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I was always taught that that was the New Testament, even though we know from a theological standpoint
Yeah.
that the New Testament didn't begin until after the resurrection.
Right.
So everything before the resurrection is still Old Testament.
That's correct.
And it's factual, it's truth. And
Yes.
I still get a ton of pushback from making
Oh
that
my goodness.
statement,
Yeah.
but it's because a lot of the traditional things get in the way.
Yeah.
Again, I set myself up for that because if you're going to stand for truth and if you're going to teach truth, I guarantee you there's going to be backlash.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no
Yeah.
way to get around it.
Not at all. It happens a lot. It happens a lot. We teach from a standpoint of this not being an American book, and so we have to learn what this book is saying to the people it was written to, and then
That's
apply
right.
that, and then we catch a lot of backlash from that too.
That's right.
And so because it bunks up against what grandma taught me and
That's
what
right.
grandpa taught me, and grandma and grandpa can't be wrong because grandma and grandpa were pastors.
No, they cannot be wrong.
They can't be wrong. They taught me. I love these people. And it's okay. I get it. I understand where you're coming from. There were some things I was taught absolutely right, but there were some things I was taught that was absolutely wrong.
Same here.
And when you start to shed light on that, a lot of times the offense comes up, and the offense is where the rejection kicks in when you're in
Yeah.
ministry.
Yeah. No, that's really good.
So I
That's
did
really
want to
good.
point that out.
No, that's really good. I got another scripture.
Yeah, let's go.
Luke 6, 22 and 23. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil. Wow. An account of the Son of Man. On account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Now
Leap for joy.
that's different, right?
Yeah.
For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. That's very interesting. And
You guys are funny to me, Bruce. You prophets are. He's like, yeah. So their father did to look. You guys catch
hey,
it bad,
listen,
man.
dude. Listen, it's been my experience that speaking of prophets in particular, man, that it is one of the things that I've come to understand. I'm going to say this, people might not agree, but it's been my experience up until now that God walks prophets and prophetic people right into the test of rejection.
Yeah.
Because there are times when you will have to say things that don't make any sense to you or anybody else. And there are times when you're going to have to be there's times when God will use prophets and prophetic people to be a voice that is completely different than all the other voices that spoke before them. You know,
Oh,
if
yeah.
you go around the table, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Okay, and then they get to Troy. Troy, what do you think? Well, this is what I hear the Lord saying, and it's totally different. You know, And people go, oh boy, hey, who was it? Micaiah?
Micaiah.
Micaiah? Was it Micaiah?
Yeah.
You don't never say nothing good.
That's one of my favorites, man.
It's one of my favorite prophets, man. So what does he do? Yeah, King. Yeah. It's gonna be great and you're gonna be victorious. And he says, stop lying to me. Now tell me what the Lord said for real. Well, you're gonna crash and burn. Since you want the word of the Lord for real, here it is. Well, it's always something, right? But that rejection thing, I think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah, they're dogging him. These are his people. These are his own people,
Man.
and they are dogging him to the point that he says, I ain't saying nothing else.
I
God,
don't
I'm
want to have
done.
nothing to do with it.
I don't have, I'm not saying another word in your name. Boy. So yeah, anyway, the prophets, man, the prophets. It ain't just the prophets, but the prophets do get it a lot.
Well, I'll ask you this, and feel free to edit this out since you have the power to do so. What was one time for you where you had something that had to be said? Had to be said. You probably knew it wasn't going to be received well, and it wasn't. You know what I mean? And you had a chance to either embrace the rejection or reject the rejection. What was one time for you?
Wow. Just one. There was something that God, this one's very personal. This is a family situation. There was something many, many years ago that the Lord told me to go and tell one of my sisters. At the time, she was, she was involved in a religion that I won't call by name, just not because I'm afraid to, but I don't want to get off subject, and I don't want people to feel a certain kind of way, like I'm pointing out certain religions or whatever. God loves everybody and wants everybody to come to know Jesus. Okay, I'll leave it at that. God loves everybody, but wants everybody to come to know Jesus. Okay,
Correct.
but she was involved in a different religion. And God gave me a very specific word to go and give to her, and I did it. And man, I don't think we talked for 15 years.
Oh.
15, somewhere thereabouts.
Yeah.
And after about 15 years, this is what's messed up, Troy. You know the story. I think I've told you this before. This is what's messed up. After about 15 years or so, the Lord sends me back to her and has me apologize. And I'm like, God, you told me to tell her what I told her. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, yeah, he said, but now he said, if you don't apologize for how you said it, because I was raw, I was young and raw. I was that prophet that would tell you you're gonna bust hell wide open, just no grace, no
No
season,
filter.
no filter. And so he had me go back and apologize, not for what I said, but the way I said it. And he said, if you don't, she'll miss heaven. She believes in our Jesus today. But as far as rejection, yeah, that was a tough one. Because I knew in my heart before I said it that it was not going to go over well, but I determined to be obedient to God,
That's the key.
yeah.
Where does your loyalty lie? Does it lie with the obedience to God, or does it lie with your comfort?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
To reiterate again, in ministry, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for this stuff, man. And I'm not talking about just in ministry, like you're in church or you're the preacher. I'm talking about you as a minister of
Yes.
reconciliation, which all
Yes.
of us born again believers are. There's
Yes.
going to be plenty of opportunities for you to be rejected. Now, with that said, Bruce, I did want to bring this up, and I probably
Okay.
should have brought up the scripture. It is in 1 Samuel, I believe
Okay.
it is, where the people of God decided they wanted to have a king.
Yeah.
Does Samuel give us a king to do all the things, I'm paraphrasing, to do all the things God already been doing for us? Give us somebody so we can be like everybody else.
We could be like everybody else.
Yeah. Which is crazy. And I remember looking at the text, and Samuel was distraught. And God comforted him in that moment. He said, "Give him a king. Give him a king." He said, "Why are you so sad? They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me." So one of the ways that we deal with rejection is identifying where the rejection actually lives. If I'm coming out and saying what God is saying, and the people reject me, are they really rejecting me? You understand what I mean?
Troy. Yeah, I do, man. Yeah, I do.
It's a tough one, you know?
It is. It
It's a
is.
tough one.
But if I may add to that.
Let's go.
Okay, so why would I feel rejected as a minister of God, as a minister of the gospel? Why would I feel rejected declaring the word of the Lord to someone and they don't receive it? Why would I feel, this is a tough one, man, but I'm going to say it because we want to help people, right?
Yeah.
Let's think through it for a minute. Why would I feel rejected if I'm declaring the word? I'm not declaring my own thoughts. I'm declaring the word of God. But when they don't receive it, I feel rejected. Why is that? Probably because I'm thinking too much about myself.
Sure.
Probably because I haven't died completely to self yet, right?
Sure.
Probably because I still, what's the best word? I still value some level of reputation.
Ooh, that's
Yeah.
tough. Yeah, that's tough.
I still value some level of reputation.
That's tough.
You know?
Yeah. I think you might have hit something there. I think you might
Like
have
I
hit something.
said, I don't, you know, this is not to hurt people. It's just,
No.
it's really just to help, you know, we want to help. You know, but we have to look at why, if I declare the word of the Lord to somebody and they reject it, I'm not even talking about prophesying. I'm just talking about declaring the word.
That's it.
You know, 1 Timothy says da 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 da, right? You know, so oh no, I know I can't receive that. I don't even know why you would say that to me. I don't think that applies to me at all. Okay. But if I feel rejected from that, we have to dig into that and find out why.
I think so. Very easily could be a pride issue, you know?
Very easily could be a pride issue.
Yeah, very
That's
easily. So.
the point that I'm getting at. It
Yeah,
very
man.
easily could be a pride issue, you know, and you know, how dare they reject me? And yet, like you said, Jesus already said, if they reject you, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting
They're
me.
rejecting me.
So why are
Yeah.
you taking it personal?
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know? Anyway, moving on. Just wanted to throw that out there. Just wanted to put that out there. Moving on,
They
moving
throw it
on.
out there and then move on.
And then
Let everybody
move
stew
on.
on
You know,
it.
Selah, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. So what else? 1 Corinthians 1:28. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Guess what? You've heard me say it many times. In God's economy, you want to go up, you got to go down.
Got to go down. Yes, sir.
Jesus paints a beautiful picture for us by washing his disciples' feet.
Yeah.
And he tells them when Peter, you know, objects, he says, if I don't wash your feet, Pete, you can have no part of me. You're not a part of me if I don't wash your feet.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for a reason. I'm doing this so that you understand how to be towards one another, right? You know, and really kind of how to be towards everybody, right? Because we're supposed to be living a meek and lowly life, you know, in Christ, right? You know, and so that's God's economy, man.
It
You
is.
know, you got to go low and stay low. And in due time, the Bible says he will what? He'll exalt you in due time.
Absolutely. It's his job to exalt you in that time, not our job to exalt ourselves.
That's exactly right, man.
Yeah.
And so I've said this many times, Troy. There are many times on this journey where it will feel like God has awarded us with the L. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? We want the W, but it looks and feels and sounds and smells like a loss, man.
Yeah.
You know, and it always takes me back to Jesus, the description of Jesus in Isaiah 53. He doesn't say anything. He's a lamb being led to the slaughter.
Yep.
And
Doesn't say a word.
he doesn't say a word, man. You
Yeah,
know,
man.
he just takes it because he's absolutely confident in his father being able to exonerate him, for lack of a better term, but it's in due season.
Which means you have a chance, because that's, I think, Bruce, that's the part that hurts the most is, okay, you say in due season.
Yeah.
When is that?
Yeah, when is
You know
that?
what I mean?
Is that Monday? You
Yeah,
know, today's Friday, Lord. Is that Monday? You know?
that's where the patience part is lacking, right?
Yeah.
We don't, I, because I want it now.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
I did what you told me to do, and these people acted this way, and now I want you to vindicate me now.
Like right now.
Like right now.
Like right. Show them, God, that I heard from you.
Yeah.
Show them that I was right, Lord. I need you to show them that I am a prophet.
that again rolls back to your own ego, right?
Yes, sir.
It rolls
Absolutely.
back to your own ego, and you're making it way more about you than what it needs to be.
Absolutely.
You know, because I think that's in that due season, that's the part, that's the
Yeah.
problem.
Yeah.
That's
That
that
due
area.
season, man.
Where that's that area where you have a chance to ask God, hurry up and give me some patience. You
Yeah,
know? Hurry up,
right.
give me some patience, because I'm tired of this. You know, I don't know how to deal with this.
I don't know how to deal with this.
And it honestly gives you the opportunity to either trust God in that waiting period or wallow in the rejection, which really isn't rejection. You know what I mean?
No, it's
Wallow in the
not.
rejection. You can choose to put that rejection on like it's a jacket, like it's a coat, like it's a blanket. You can choose to wear that. And there's so many people who walk around like that. They just wear the rejection from the past like it's a blanket. And it's like I get up in the morning and I brush my teeth, and before I leave the house, let me put this blanket of rejection on me, and I need to wear this. And as I'm wearing it, what I do is I act out in all of my encounters with everybody, and I act out from a place of rejection. And the truth of the matter is, you were never meant to be in that place of rejection.
That's exactly right, man.
It's just your ego pulled you into it.
Your ego, oh boy, that's good, man. Your
Yeah.
ego. Your ego pulled you into it. How
Yeah.
dare they?
Yeah, exactly.
Do they not know I'm called of God? Do they
Yeah.
not know that I hear from God? How dare they reject something that God would give me to say?
Yeah.
You know where you see it a lot?
Where's that?
Okay, I'm still hanging out. I'm hanging out with the prophets, but I'm talking prophets plus, okay? Okay, I hear this all the time when someone says, I gotta obey the Lord.
Yeah.
I gotta obey. I gotta say this. I gotta say this. And they do a lot of preference, not preference. They do a lot of setting it up before
Yeah.
they say the thing that they believe God's told them to say. Because they don't want to be rejected. So now listen, this is of the Lord. I know I've heard from God. It was Tuesday night at 7 p.m. I was making me a sandwich, and all of a sudden I stopped, and we do that all the time.
We do.
Yeah.
You got to qualify it, is, you
You
know.
gotta qualify it
Yeah.
because, but why? Because I don't want anyone that I'm about to say this to reject what I'm getting ready to say.
Yeah.
So I want to put it out there that this is indeed from God. It is to be accepted by all who hear it. I'm telling you, I was minding my own business, and all of a sudden, I've done it before when I didn't know any better, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was minding my own business, and all of a sudden, the light came on, but there wasn't any light on in the kitchen. I hadn't turned the light on, but this light came on, and I knew it was God. I'm not making fun of people, but you know and I know that
Oh
people
yeah.
do that a lot.
Oh yeah.
They set it up to make sure that it's not rejected.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, I believe, you know, I Troy, I know that I'm called to the office. It doesn't matter whether anybody called me prophet or not. My name is Bruce.
Yeah.
My
I'm
mama
with you.
named me Bruce. She didn't name me prophet.
I'm with you.
Right? And guess what? I've said it before. I'll say it again. Prophet is too low. Apostle is too low. Pastor is too low. Evangelist is too low.
Too low.
Teacher is too low, y'all. Bishop is too low. If you're finding your identity in any of those, right, then I would say you might have an identity crisis when it comes to being a son.
There you go.
I'm a son. You all out there that are listening and or watching that have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are sons and daughters. There is no title that can supersede being a son of God.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And so we got to get that thing, that we got to get that straight first. You know, then all of the positions and or titles, whatever you want to call them, will begin, I think, to fall in place. You know, and you'll understand, wow, I'm a son before anything. I'm a daughter of Zion before anything. I belong to him. He belongs to me. And yes, he's given me an apostolic grace or a prophetic grace or an evangelistic grace to do great things with him in that area. But none of that will ever trump being a son of the living God.
Ever.
Never.
Ever. Ever,
Never.
Ever, ever.
And
ever,
that
ever,
right
ever.
There, that revelation right there, dude, will I mean, almost gouge out all of the rejection issues. Just grabbing hold to that and asking God to really make that real to you will almost by itself take care of the rejection issue, in my opinion.
I think that's fact, though, Bruce. I think that's truth. If you rest in the fact that you are a son, there's nothing better. Right? So
nothing better.
Think about this, right? We put together this podcast. We believe we heard from God.
Yeah.
In fact, we know we heard from God. We put together the podcast. We did this, and we did it from a position of sonship.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He's telling us, I want you to do this. We're doing this from a position of sonship.
Yes, sir.
If we don't get any viewers or listeners, we did what we did as sons.
That's exactly right.
Right. So if this podcast were to take off and it were to blow up globally, right?
Yeah.
What is it that anybody in the world could say that would put me in a better position than being a son of God?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not
right?
a thing.
Doesn't matter how, if we won awards, if we get, it does, it, that doesn't even matter.
Doesn't matter.
Because I understand where my position is in him.
Yes, sir.
And anything you say or don't say can't change my position in him.
That's right.
And I
That's
think
right.
You made a very good point. I had some other things that I wanted to talk about to how to deal with it, but I don't know that you can deal with it any better than recognizing that you're a son. I don't
yeah.
think you can.
Yeah, no, man. I mean, I really think that's, using an old colloquialism, that's where the buck stops.
I agree.
You know, I mean, it stops right there. Understanding, I've said it hundreds and hundreds of times, I'm going to say it again. Understanding who he is to you and who you are to him.
Game changer,
you know,
man.
It's a game changer.
Yeah.
It's a game changer. Because then, because there's nothing like freedom, yo. There's nothing like freedom.
Yeah.
There's nothing like knowing that who the Son has set free is free indeed.
Nothing
And
like
that applies to me. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing
it.
like knowing that it applies to you, that wow, thank you, Lord, I really am free. I wasn't free before, but man, I'm free now because I know that you have never, nor will you ever reject me. Look how real this is, man. I can make a decision right now to no longer walk with Jesus.
Yep.
But Jesus has already said he'll never make a decision to no longer walk with me.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? He says, I
Oh
will
yeah.
never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Never is a is like ever. Isn't never like ever? Never is a long time.
Yeah.
So I would literally have to tear away from him, right? Because he says, no, I'm not going. No, I'm not talking about that once saved, always saved. That's just crazy. I'm not talking about that at all.
Right.
And I'm putting it out there just to make sure nobody thinks that that's what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is, as far as rejection is concerned, we don't serve a God who, because we didn't do something just right and so, no, that's human. That's
Correct.
human. We don't serve a
Correct.
God who rejects us because we didn't say something just right. That's human. Okay, the Lord told me to go and preach over here. Lord, do you want me to go over there and preach? Yes, go preach. Okay, I go preach. I'm all over my notes, and I'm doing and another thing, right? I'm just all over the place. And then what happens? When I finish, I come down out of the podium or what have you. I put the mic down and I go, oh God. Oh, that has to have been the t most terrible, and I become my worst critic.
Yeah.
And the Lord says, stop it. Stop it. Did you do what I told you to do? Yes, sir. Okay, then go on home and go to sleep.
See,
It has to come to that.
that right there is so important because I know there are some pastors, some church leaders that do listen to our podcast. And I do know after these guys, and I've been guilty of that too.
Yeah.
When we step down from the platform, you sit in your quiet time, you're like, man, I should have said this. I
Yeah.
should have said that. I
Yeah.
should have
Yeah.
said, you know,
All the things
oh
you
man.
thought of that you couldn't think of when you were up
Exactly.
there. Right.
And there's a reason why you couldn't think of it. You know, you said what needed to be said. Nothing more, nothing less. You were effective. You were obedient. Move on.
Move on.
Move
Move
on.
on.
So
Because
for
all of that has the potential
yes.
to set you up for feeling rejected.
Correct. I'm not good enough.
I'm not good
I
enough.
can't even remember the high points that I'm supposed to make.
I'm
And
I
yeah.
and I wrote it down and still didn't hit
Yeah.
it. You ever
Yeah,
have that
man.
happen to you? I
Oh,
wrote it
plenty of
down
times.
and still didn't hit it. Oh
I
my
hardly ever
God.
get to all my notes.
I'm the worst. I'm the
Yeah.
worst speaker ever.
Yeah,
Pride.
man.
Pride.
Yeah. Did you do what he told you to do?
Did you do what he told you to do? And if he did, then rejoice in the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to say anything in your name.
Yeah,
And
man.
move on, man.
That is so simple.
You'll sleep better. Your food, your lunch
Yeah.
after church will taste better. You know
Yeah.
what I'm saying? You'll stop worrying about who didn't come over and tell you, ooh, am I going to say this? I'm going to say it. You'll stop worrying about who didn't come over afterward and tell you how good it was.
Yeah.
Ooh, Pastor, that was a great word. Ooh, all of that stuff sets you up, man.
It does.
It sets you up for failure, for really, for lack of a better term, it sets you up for rejection. It sets you up for failure when you should be able to just walk away and say, hey, praise the Lord. How y'all doing, man? Yeah. Look, say of your own message. That was good, wasn't it? because you did what God told you to do.
Exactly.
You declared the
Exactly.
word of the Lord. You should say of your own, say, boy, that was good. I don't know about y'all, but I enjoyed that. God said some things that wasn't even in my notes, man. Did y'all catch that? Y'all
Yeah.
need to go back and listen to it. It was really good.
I love that. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, there's so many people that deal with rejection. There's,
Yes, sir.
not just in ministry, but issues with family.
Yes.
There's daughters being rejected by fathers, and sons being rejected by mothers or fathers. You know what I mean? And I think one of the craziest ones that has a good way to hurt really bad is when parents are rejected by children.
Oh.
That's pretty brutal.
It
You
is.
know, that is a pretty savage thing, because I only thing I wanted to do was love you and give you the best that I could,
Exactly,
you know, and
exactly.
then that wasn't good enough. And but here, even in that, and that could probably be like one of the more painful rejections, you know, children to parents, it could be. I don't want to say it absolutely is, but it could be. Even in that, there's a place in God where that rejection does not exist, right? And
That's
if you
right.
find that place in Him, and you learn how, and I think you hit the nail on the head, even in that, the sonship, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, you want your children to accept you, but what's more important,
At the
right?
end of the day, who's more important?
Absolutely. And I
You
think
know?
that's that, that so I, Bruce, I wanted to bring this up, and I know you'll like this one. I know you'll like this one. This is Psalms 27
Psalm 27, okay.
in verse 10. For my mother and my father have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in.
Yes, sir. Yes,
Right?
sir.
And so for all you folks out there who may have to reconcile some things after listening to this podcast, you know, you may have to go back and do an inventory of your own life after listening to this podcast, and see all the places, all the I see them as potholes right now, Bruce, on the road. All these potholes, where you got stuck, or you did some damage to the vehicle, which is you. You're the vehicle. Because you hit these potholes of rejection, right? The road wasn't always smooth for you, but there were potholes everywhere. And but here's the truth of the matter. Doesn't matter. As close as your mother and father should be to you, if they have forsaken you, the Bible says the Lord will take you up.
Yes, sir.
And
Yes, sir.
that's where you find your peace. That's where you find your stability. That's where you find your consistency.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't matter who turns their back on me. Doesn't matter who turns their back on you. Doesn't matter who rejects you, who despises you. Does not matter. At the end of the day, there's a place for you in Him, and you'll never be rejected there.
That's exactly right, man. That's
Yeah.
good. Now, what's interesting is Psalm 27, right? Now, I had Psalm 27, verse 3, 4, and 5.
Nice.
Though an army encamp against me,
Yeah.
my heart shall not fear.
Yeah.
Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life,
Yeah.
to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Boy, that's good right there.
I
Keep
like that.
your eyes on Jesus and
Yeah,
to
man.
inquire in his temple, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble.
Trouble.
He
Yeah.
will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. So
Yeah.
we were kind of right there together.
Yeah,
You
man.
know, yeah, man. Yeah, you went down to 10.
Yeah. Love it. What else you
Yeah, man.
got?
Let's see. Let's see. Let's see. Ephesians 1,
Yeah.
verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. I love that we should be holy and blameless. Let me slow down. Even as he chose us in him
In him.
before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
Boy, if that don't give you confidence, I don't know what will. Knowing all your stuff, he chose you. Anyway, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. That's just beautiful, man.
Sons
Sons.
in the book
Sons.
In the book of Romans, it talks to us about being adopted sons.
Yes, sir.
Paul was writing to those Romans.
Yes, sir.
And the Roman idea of adoption is different than our idea of adoption.
Right.
In the Roman culture, and this is who he was writing to, these believers that were in Rome, they were still part of the Roman culture. He was writing to them in a way that they could understand,
Yeah.
right? In that culture, a son that was adopted had more rights to the father's inheritance than
Yeah.
somebody that was born from his own body.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because, and I like to say it this way, no child is an accident.
Right.
Some were surprises, though. We had some that were surprises. But none of them are accidents. But the truth of the matter is nobody ever adopts on accident.
That's right.
And it's never a surprise when you adopt.
That's so good, man.
Never.
That's so good.
Adoption is absolutely intentional. There's no way around that. And so when he calls us sons by adoption, it meant I meant to pick you. I had
That's
it in
so
my
good.
heart the whole time to choose you
So
and to
good.
bring you into my family. And now you have more rights than somebody that was birthed from my own body.
Yeah, man. That's good
Right?
stuff.
That's how close you are to me. That's how great your inheritance is.
That's right.
Right? You have more access than you think you do. This is what the people of God need to understand. You have more access than you think you do.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's something just to hold on to. There's tons of stuff to remember from this podcast, right? Just try to hold on to that. I have more access than what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Yeah, and then start down that trail with God.
Because he deliberately adopted you.
He deliberately
Yeah,
adopted you.
there was no accident. There was no,
No.
oops. Oh, where did he come from? I didn't mean to. Did I pick you? Yeah, no, man.
I don't remember
No, I don't remember
that.
that.
I love it.
Oh,
I
man,
love it.
that's good stuff, man.
This is
Okay,
good.
I got one more.
Let's go.
Romans 5. Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access. Just to add to what you just said,
Yes, sir.
we have obtained through him, we have also obtained access into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. That's the point I kind of want to make. I put the yummy yummy up first, up front, but
Then
it
jerk the
says,
curb carpet from under him, right?
you know what I'm saying? Now I'm gonna jerk the carpet. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance,
Yes.
and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's beautiful, man.
It is.
That's beautiful. So the people who think that this thing is just a tra-la-la-la-la, tiptoe through the tulips,
No.
it kind of is, but that doesn't mean that a tree might not fall on you every now and then. You got to climb out from under the tree and still be okay with the beautiful tulips. You know what I'm saying? And walking
Yes.
through it with Jesus, right? He may let a tree limb pop you side the head every now and then. But there's a purpose for it. That's my point. There's a
No.
purpose for it. You said at the very beginning of the podcast that we got to recognize who we're associated with.
Yes.
But we also have to recognize how we're associated with him.
Oh, that's good stuff.
You see,
That's good stuff.
we
Yeah.
like the who. Oh, yes,
Yeah.
I'm connected to Jesus. But how are you connected to him?
That makes all the difference.
Oh, it makes all the
B
difference,
because
Troy.
the connection is going to demand certain responsibilities.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'll demand certain
It demands
responsibilities.
certain responsibilities.
Yeah.
It demands certain responses.
It does. It does. In that passage, you hit one word there. It says character. Yeah, character.
Carrot.
There's a development of character that has to happen. There's nobody in the Bible that God used that he changed their, he didn't change their personality.
That's right.
David,
That's right.
same personality.
That's
You
right.
know, Paul was, he was after those Christians. He was tenacious. But then when he came to Christ, he was still tenacious.
He remained tenacious.
Yeah, but the only
Yeah.
thing he does, he never changes the personality. He just develops character
He
in it.
develops character. And how does he do it? In that scripture, it says, and endurance.
Yeah.
Ooh, that means that it's not a one and done.
No.
That
No,
means
it's
that there are things that I will let you suffer. I know this is not a popular thing to say to believers today,
yeah.
that God would not move every single little thing out of the way.
Nah.
That God would let someone say something to me that might hurt my feelings so that I can see that I still can be hurt. I'm not completely dead yet.
Yeah.
God would let, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's hard for people. There's a lot of people, believers, man, that truth is hard for. And yet we just read it in Romans 5.
You're right. So we can get over ourselves, right? So that's part
Yeah.
of this, right? We look
Yes,
at the
sir.
rejection thing. So we can get over ourselves. Just look at the story of Joseph. Joseph was rejected by his brothers,
Yes,
right?
sir. Yeah.
But ultimately, it fell into the plan of God,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So if we walk it back, if you allow me to do this really quick, if you walk
Go
it
for it,
back,
man.
if Joseph does not show off his coat, his brothers don't get jealous. If his brothers don't get jealous, or I'm sorry, if he doesn't tell his dream to his brothers after
Right.
that, they don't
Right.
get envious.
Right.
Because jealousy and envy are two different things.
Yes, sir.
If they don't get envious, then they don't try to sell him. They throw him in a pit first,
Yep,
right?
throw him in a pit.
If they don't throw him in the pit, then they don't try to sell him into
Right,
slavery. If he doesn't
right,
go into slavery, then he doesn't end up in Potiphar's house.
right,
If he doesn't end up in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife can't tell this lie about him.
right,
If she doesn't tell the lie about him, he doesn't end up in the prison. If he
right,
doesn't end up in the prison, he can't interpret the dream for the baker and the butler.
right.
He doesn't interpret the
Come
dream
on,
for the
man.
baker and the butler, then he doesn't stand before the Pharaoh.
Come on,
If he
dude.
doesn't stand before the Pharaoh, he doesn't interpret his dream. If he doesn't interpret his dream, then he doesn't give him the strategy of heaven to combat what's coming.
Yes.
And if he doesn't combat what's coming, right, then
Yes.
his then Egypt doesn't have a surplus that his brothers can ultimately come and purchase to survive.
To
If
survive.
they don't purchase to survive, then they die, and the bloodline of the Messiah is done right there.
It's done.
It's bigger than Joseph.
Amazing, man.
And
That's
it's
so
bigger than
good,
you.
dude.
It's
That's
bigger
so
than
good.
you. The
Oh, that's
rejection
so good.
sometimes is bigger than you. And you have to get that.
Woo, man, that's good, dude.
You
So
have to get that.
let me cook that down at the end of this thing here.
Yes, sir.
So sometimes your rejection has a purpose
Has a
connected to it.
purpose. It has a purpose. It has a purpose.
You
And
said it
that,
at the beginning.
yes.
Don't, okay, we're gonna, how do you handle rejection? Well, first of all, let's make sure it's the right kind of rejection.
Correct.
Let's make sure it has a, and what you were really saying was, let's make sure your rejection has a purpose
Make
connected
sure it
to
has
it.
a purpose.
Not just because you're acting silly, not just because you're doing, crazy stuff, but
Yeah.
you're living this life, and in attempting to live this life and live it for real, there are people who reject you and feel a certain kind of way, but you don't even know the fullness of what comes out of that if you take the rejection and handle it the right way.
Once you handle that rejection the right way and you start to see there's a purpose in it and you understand even that purpose in it, I still have a place in God that I
I
don't have
still
to suffer this
I
rejection.
still have a place
I
in
still
God.
have a place in him.
Yeah.
I don't
Yeah.
have to feel this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to help you make life a lot better for you.
Yeah.
And you'll recognize too, Bruce, you don't really have to deal with the rejection.
That's exactly
You
right.
got to deal with it. You know
That's
what I mean?
exactly right.
There's a place where you don't even have to feel it.
Yep.
But that's in him.
Yep.
So,
so
I'm Troy.
I'm Bruce.
And listen, we thank you so much for joining us here under the fig tree.
See you next time.